Today on The Balanced Word, getting through the ups and downs of life by connecting to God.
For us, when we are in a place where we don't understand, when we're in a place where we don't have all the answers, where we're praying and I don't feel some warm feeling coming back, and I don't even see how God's going to solve some of the problems that I'm looking at, but I just go, yep, I'm honest, here's how I feel. But God, let's talk about you. Let's talk about who you are. And it doesn't take the pain away, but it allows us to connect to God.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here.
Discovering balanced living through the Word of God, this is The Balanced Word. We'll be joined by Pastor Dave Rolfe in a second, who today resumes our series on the Bible stories. The story of David is very relatable to many of us. Yes, he had tremendous highs, but he also hit rock bottom too. In Psalm 22, we read about a very low point in his life, and he was able to praise God in the midst of it. Maybe this is an especially hard time for you. Allow the Lord to speak to you through this powerful Bible story. Here's Pastor Dave to bring it to us.
Jesus had a special affinity for David, and I do too. What Jesus loved about David was that even in the depths of his agony, he didn't feel like he had to cover it up. David didn't pretend, and Jesus didn't either. It takes a real human, in the best sense of the word, a real man or a real woman, to be able to just say, here's what I'm feeling. And to even question the idea of whether God is there or not. So Jesus saw the Psalm of David that Jesus had memorized, no doubt, when he was a little kid. And he's going, this is me right now. This is what I'm feeling. And it's important in ways that we can't comprehend that Jesus understands that. But he did, and he recognized in this psalm a beautiful expression of what it feels like to feel forsaken. Now, so it works for David and works for Jesus. And the truth is, and the worst part about this, the most uncomfortable aspect here is some of us have been there. I mean, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've never felt like God has forsaken you or that God can't hear you or that everyone is against you or that you're not even worth what a person should be worth. Maybe you haven't felt that. And I wouldn't wish that on you. But sooner or later, most of us will experience a time when we question the value of our own existence, when we question the closeness and relevance of God and who he is for us. And I think for some of us, we're sort of afraid to go there. But Psalm 22 can explain the deepest things that you will ever go through. That maybe there comes a time when you, like Jesus, look at Psalm 22 and go, me too. God, it feels like you can't hear me. It feels like everyone's against me. I'm like a crushed worm. I'm surrounded. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know how far I can go. And so the story of David is the story of Jesus, is the story of us so often. Some of us aren't comfortable dealing with that and we don't even want to hear it. Some of us have experienced it, but we don't admit it because somehow we think that if you don't talk about it, it won't happen, it'll go away. But man, if you haven't ever been in a place where Psalm 22 connected with you, I guarantee there are people you love who have been, people you care about who've been there. So when we look at this story, it's David's story, it's Jesus' story, and for many of us, it's our story. Sometimes you go, what do we get from this? I mean, the first thing that I think we have to take away is that life can be a roller coaster. Life is going to have ups and downs. And if we pretend like it isn't, or if we try to make it not that way, we're in denial for the most part. we have to be okay with the fact that sometimes things are really good, and you shouldn't feel guilty about that. And sometimes things are really bad. You shouldn't be afraid of that either. There are ups and downs. I think in our culture, we feel like, and I think it's because we don't want to make God look bad. So what we do is we try to lop off the highs and the lows. If you're really happy, there might be people who take it upon themselves as their mission to bring you down a little bit. You're too happy. I need to knock you off your high horse. You know, just quit that chair. Just shut up and go. If you feel good, great. Go tell somebody else about it. I don't want to hear it. At the same time, when somebody hits really low, we go, I don't want to hear about that either. And then we develop artificial means to sort of mediate that and cause our lives to become really stable, we call it. And so all sorts of artificial ways to go, yeah, if you're feeling like God has forsaken you, you just probably need a drink. You'll be fine. Or you just need to go play with kids or serve somebody or whatever, and you'll get out of it in no time. Instead of just realizing this is a part of the human condition, Jesus, the perfect human, experienced this. And sometimes we're going to as well. But we have to be okay to be joyful and up, and at the same time, to be down and not feel like either one of them is the only spiritual way to be. Because it was our Savior who, again, in Isaiah 53, it says, he was despised and rejected. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So when you have a down time in your life, now I'm not suggesting that staying down forever is just a good thing. Again, it's ups and downs. And if you find yourself in a place where you're just always down, then something's wrong. And you should definitely talk to somebody about how to mediate that a little bit. But what I'm talking about are just the normal sorts of things that we go through, or sometimes we go through a down spot. Don't think it's wrong. Because what we see here and what we learn from Jesus is just be real. It has to start with not pretending. One of the biggest insults, I think, to God and who he is that we feel like we have to act a certain way so that we don't freak people out and we make God look good. Never, ever, ever does God tell us, you need to pretend to do me a favor. Hey, sometimes you feel like a worm, and that's okay. You don't have to think there's something wrong with you because you feel that way, because the perfect man, Jesus Christ, related to that and said, me too. And so we need to be honest. I think it shows an incredible security in the King of Israel when he says, I think that God has rejected me and I think I'm just about done. Because for a leader to say something like that, that'll freak people out. Because they're hoping to bank on his always being there, always being up, in order for them to derive strength. But David was such an amazing man that he could just go, nope, sorry guys, your hope can't be in me because I don't feel like God's even there for me right now. I don't think he hears me. And I know he does, but I don't feel like he does. That has to be okay. You will absolutely wear yourself out if you're constantly trying to act like you're okay when you're not. God never asked you to do that. But Jesus, at his most challenging and yet most important moment, who did he relate to? David. And when did he relate to David? In David's deepest agony. And Jesus, and you know, as Jesus hung on the cross and said, I thirst, he didn't think they were going to give him a water bottle, but he was just telling him, this is how I feel. And when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was something that they could interpret as, see, he gave up on God. He finally realizes he isn't the Messiah. He feels what it's like to be rejected by God. It could so be misinterpreted, and yet Jesus admired David enough that he goes, I'm just going to tell it like it is. This is the truth. This is how I feel. Deal with it. That honesty is so important. Because if we start living a lie, then what's the point of it all? Remember, Jesus ultimately brags about being the root of David. He loved his connection with David. But as we look at this, we also need to be reminded of how important it is what we know about God. And it seems, and often we treat theology and what we know about God as a sort of trite way to make us feel better. So with David, he goes, I feel rejected by God. I feel like he can't hear me, but you're holy. And we go, good, good, good. You're going back to your theology, and that's certainly going to make you feel better. Nope, made him feel like a worm. And he goes on about that. And then it's like, but man, you've been there for me all along, but you're not here now, and I'm surrounded, and I'm about to die. See, and yet, you see his returning to what he knew about God, returning, if you will, to his theology, at a time when he felt his theology the least. But he knew who God was. He had been taught well from when he was a little kid. And he kept bringing it up. And for us, when we find ourselves in dark situations, I think we can learn from this and recognize and remind ourselves of who God is. Now, not because it's going to make you feel better. It probably won't. We saw with Job a couple weeks ago, he lost his family, he lost his business, he lost most of his possessions, buildings, everything else, and he fell down before God and worshiped God. But he said, I came into the world naked, I'm going to return naked. The Lord gives and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And that made him feel so much better, right? No, then he broke out with boils. And he was even more miserable. But he always remembered who God was. And finally, when God showed up, he didn't show up with answers. He didn't show up and go, let me explain to you. Here's what's going on, and here's why, and here's how we're going to. God just showed up and showed him his glory, showed him how brilliant creation is, the world that God had created is. And when he saw God, he was like, never mind. I don't have anything to say. See, when we focus back on our theology, on what we know about God, it doesn't fix what hurts about us, but it does put it into perspective in a way that's hard to describe. And it's why David could here end up praising God. Not because, oh good, I feel better now. Nope, I feel terrible, and I'm going to praise God for who he is. Pastor Chuck used to always say, when you come across things that you don't understand, always hang on to what you do understand. That God loves you. That God is good. Those sorts of things. And this is what happens here and in our experiences. And so that's why Jesus could go, on the one hand, I thirst, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then ultimately to say, into your hands, I commit my spirit. I'm going to trust you when I feel like you're not there. That's faith. And that's only situations like this give us the opportunity to really experience what that's like. But in an amazing way, even when it doesn't fix our challenges and our problems, even when it doesn't make us feel better, the best worship we will ever experience is when we don't feel it, but we choose to do it anyway. We choose to trust God because we know who God is. I don't know who I am sometimes, but I know who he is. And so from the depths of my misery, I will praise him. I will praise him because what else do I do? He hasn't fixed what I'm concerned about, but it helps me when I look at him and remember who he is because at least it puts a perspective because when I realize who God is and that he is faithful and that he has promised to Jesus to return for me and take me to be with him forever, when I know that, it doesn't make now not hurt. It doesn't fix the challenges that I have in my life, but it does put it into perspective. it does remind me of how big he is and of how good he is and of how wise he is. And even though he doesn't give me the answer, there is one somewhere. And he may not give it to me. He didn't to Job. He didn't to David. But they chose to trust him. And this is where, as men and women who love God, this is where our test is the most real. When you know nothing except who God is and what he says, are you going to be okay with that? When you're full of questions and he is the only answer and he doesn't choose to answer your questions, will you be honest? Will you be real? Is that who you will choose to be? And that's who David chose to be, and that's who Jesus chooses to be. And for us, when we are in a place where we don't understand, when we're in a place where we don't have all the answers, where we're praying and I don't feel some warm feeling coming back, and I don't even see how God's going to solve some of the problems that I'm looking at, but I just go, yep, I'm honest, here's how I feel. But God, let's talk about you. Let's talk about who you are. And it doesn't take the pain away, but it allows us to connect to God. The Bible talks about us sharing in his sufferings. Jesus came to share in our sufferings. He could have just come and died, and that technically seems like it would have closed the deal. But instead, he chose to be tempted in everything as we are. He chose to live in our pain, our agony, to suffer the depths of which no one else had ever experienced, because that's how much he wanted to be close to us. Therefore, when we find ourselves in pain, in a weird sort of way, we are not only connected to David, we're connected to Jesus, because he understands. Now, in a perfect world, I would think the best thing would be every time I hurt for him to make me not hurt. But there's some value that I don't completely understand. And instead of him delivering me from my hurt, instead he comes and hurts with me. That's infinitely more profound in ways that it's hard to comprehend, but it's something that the Bible teaches very clearly about him. He meets us in the middle of our pain. And he knows what you're going through right now. He knows what you've been through, and he understands. And I wish I could be like some faith teacher that tells you, if you just claim it, that pain goes away. But he doesn't do that. But what he does instead is he says, let me sit with you. I know what it feels like. I understand pain because I've been there. And pain does not make everything that I've always told you to be not true. But there's a way in which I so want to be close to you that I'll suffer with you. And that's what Jesus did, and that's what he wants to do. Now, if you're here today and you've never really had a relationship with God, I'm sure you know what pain is. And God doesn't want you, he doesn't like make you hurt so that you'll surrender to him. That's not the way he is. He sees you hurt, and so he hurt with you, for you. But the worst thing about pain would be to go through pain for no reason, to have it not do anything in your life. And that isn't necessary because Jesus Christ, well, he loved you so much that he went through this pain for you, with you. So it'd be really foolish to just go, nope, I'm just going to take it myself. It will tell me this. At what point are you going to go, I'm dead, life is over, this is awful? Do you want to take it so far that you end up just taking your own life rather than to admit that there's a God who loves you? That would be so tragic. There's some people who believe in God who come to that point, and it's so sad because he never wanted that to happen. He never wanted you to ever be alone, and he doesn't now. And he would love to have you come to understand who he is, receive his forgiveness for sins, and give you a fresh start in your life. That's called the good news, that he did that for you, and it's free. And so for any one of us, if we haven't made that decision, today is the day to do that. And I'd love to tell you that, oh, you come to Jesus and everything is fixed. Nope. You come to Jesus and it's safe to be honest, because there is someone who made you who also understands what it's like to feel like you. And I pray that you will allow the pain in your life to turn into something beautiful and meaningful, a relationship with the one who understands better than anyone else. There may be some of you who know Jesus and yet you're in great agony. I pray that you'll read this over maybe this afternoon and realize even when he doesn't fix it, he gets it. And he identifies with you right now better than, more deeply than when you're having a great day, when you're at the fair eating fried everything. Now, when you're the most alone is when he is the most there, because that's his heart, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He's acquainted with you. So praise him. Think about who he is. Be honest about where you are, but then keep the roller coaster going, but God is holy. He's good. He's loving. He knows everything. He has a purpose behind all that happens. He has a great end in mind for me. Don't forget who he is. Don't let go of your theology, because ultimately that becomes a strong underpinning, not to take away your pain, but to allow you to go through it, to come out on the other side and to say, wow, he was there.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com, or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Finishing up our time in prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
God, thank you so much for this depressing psalm. Because if we've lived this, we really don't want to hear about it, obviously. And yet, we understand that you were there, and that you are there, and that Jesus feels everything that we feel. So help us to turn to truth when our guts have just been devastated, when life just is disappointing us right and left. You don't need to fix everything that's wrong in our lives. We know that we'll have all eternity to be well. But Lord, remind us of who you are and help us to choose to praise you in our darkest days. Thank you for loving us so much that you didn't just pay for our eternal salvation, but you came and got an up-close and personal look at what it feels like to be us on our worst day. You know that, and we thank you. We appreciate it. God, for people who you've been trying to draw to yourself, people who need you in their life, who need to start life over and have their sins forgiven and know that they'll never be alone again, even when they feel like it, I pray that you would just give them the courage to come down and commit their life to you. Start over here, now. Not to fix what's wrong, but to be with you in the middle of the roller coaster of the life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Forgiven, now what? That's the question we'll consider on the next Balanced Word as Dave Rolfe returns with another Bible story from the Psalms. This program is presented by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.